Listen to what Billy Graham said about Christmas. Christmas is not a myth, not a tradition, not a dream. It is a glorious reality. It is a time of joy. Bethlehem's manger crib became the link that bound the lost world to a loving God. From that manger came a man who not only taught us a new way of life, but brought us into a new relationship with our Creator. Christmas means that God is invested in the affairs of people, that God loves us so much that He was willing to give us His Son. That's what Christmas is, according to Billy Graham. As the Christmas story is repeated year after year, we see that the cast of characters associated with the story of Jesus' birth are both colorful and memorable. We recognize them by their unique speaking parts with dramatic lines. The angels take center stage to announce the birth of the Savior. The archangel Gabriel makes an unforgettable announcement to Mary. It's not on your screen, but here is what the angel said. "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Luke 1:28. They appeared to Joseph to announce that the name of the child would be Jesus. The angelic choir interrupts the shepherds with the singing, "Glory to God in the highest." The Virgin Mary, whose divine selection humbles her, offers a beautiful hymn of praise. Luke 1:46 to 48, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Then the shepherds become early evangelists in Luke chapter 2. They rush off to find baby Jesus, just as the angels announced it. In verse 15, they say, "The shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" And then when they found Jesus, Luke says in verse 17, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Then the wise men are desperate in their search to find the newborn king and to present him with gifts of worship. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, they say, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And so all these characters in the story of in the birth of Jesus, they all have things to say. Whether it's angels or Mary or the shepherds or wise men. Oddly enough, friends, only one figure in the birth, one key figure in the birth of Jesus has no speaking parts. He is only silent member of the cast and is often forgotten. And his name is Joseph. Angels bring heavenly greetings. Mary sings a praise solo. Shepherds preach. Wise men worship. But Joseph is silent. Isn't that something? No notable lines are attributed to him. No quotes, only silence. Many of us, when we were growing up, participated in Christmas plays. We had to remember lines of Mary and the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and the innkeeper and even Herod. And we all considered the one who played Joseph the fortunate one. Why? He had no lines to learn. The non-speaking part. And I'm sure that Joseph was physically able to speak. And perhaps the wonderful realization that God Almighty had a word and a work, a heavenly mission, as it were, for a humble, unsophisticated carpenter, left Joseph speechless. Today, friends, however, we see that Joseph is a very honorable character in the Christmas story. His importance cannot be overstated. Through Joseph, friends, God protected the unborn life of Jesus and preserved the human life of the Savior. You know that every year for the last 20 some odd years, 21 years that I'm here, we always had on the second Sunday of December, the Christmas Sunday school play. Or the church would be packed, right? And all the children with their angel outfits and Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and it's just lovely. It made me think now this is a new time, different time for us all over the world. But it made me think of a Sunday school that was putting on a Christmas pageant, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. One boy so very much wanted to be Joseph. Oh, he wanted to be Joseph. But the parts when they were handed out, a boy he didn't like was given that part. And he was assigned the part of the innkeeper. He was pretty upset about this, but didn't say anything to the director. And during all the rehearsals, he thought that he might do what he might do on the night of the performance to get even with the rival who got to be Joseph. And finally, on the night of the performance, there Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage. They knocked at the door of the inn, and the innkeeper opened the door and asked them gruffly what they wanted. Joseph answered, "We'd like to have a room for the night." And suddenly, the innkeeper got his moment to get at his enemy, the boy who played Joseph. He flung the doors of the inn wide open. And he said, "Great, come on in. And I'll give you the best room in the house." And for a few seconds, poor little Joseph didn't know what to do. But thinking quickly on his feet, he looked inside the door past the innkeeper and said, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." And once again, the play was back on track. In all the Christmas pageants performed, friends, Joseph doesn't get a starring role. But his part is so important. His task is to watch over Mary and baby Jesus. Joseph had the important role of caring for the needs of others. And I want to share this morning, friends, that from Joseph's life, we learn three important lessons. And in each we realize God's purpose and promise for our lives. The first lesson from Joseph's life is a lesson in righteous mercy. The lesson in righteous mercy. We are introduced to Joseph. The first time you come across his name is in the middle of an unwelcomed nightmare. Having become engaged to a beautiful young girl in the Jewish tradition, Joseph did. He worked hard to establish an income to support his new bride and to begin a family. He is in love. He is committed to Mary. He believed that she loved him until the news that his precious bride is pregnant. Heartbroken and betrayed, he wonders whether he should publicly shame her and serve her with a certificate of divorce, or should he surrender her to a public stoning? Her explanation of the pregnancy was unbelievable and done nothing. It did nothing to ease Joseph's emotional pain. If Joseph had to tell the Jewish authorities that Mary was pregnant, Mary would have been stoned to death for blasphemy. Especially if she had to go and say, God's the Father. They would have said, what? That's blasphemy. And they would have stoned her to death. However, friends, listen. Joseph chooses the path of mercy. Joseph chooses the path of mercy. Let's look at our text. In Matthew 1, verse 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, faithful to the law, another version says, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Like I was saying the other day, that in the Jewish custom, when a couple got engaged, they were considered to be husband and wife, although they weren't married yet as such. There was no ceremony, no reception. But they were, once they were engaged to be separated, to break up, they had to give a certificate of divorce. That was the custom. Even before any divine explanation, Joseph chooses mercy. No malice, no explosion. Certainly, words would have been appropriate here. Words like, how could you do this to me, Mary? That would have been normal. Who's the father? Tell me his name. But friends, there are no words that are recorded, only tenderness. He might be the talk of Nazareth. Friends might distance themselves with mocking comments, but he did not hurt Mary. No matter what he thought she had done to him, that's what a just man does. That's what a merciful man does. When he could have demanded a bitter justice, he chose a righteous mercy, which preserves the life of Mary and preserves the unborn Christ. This merciful carpenter would raise a merciful Savior. Isn't that true, friends? Friends, there are many people whom we feel have wronged us. Justice should be dealt out. They deserve your cold shoulder. But today, God wants you and I to learn a valuable lesson from Joseph, which is, when people deserve a sentence of justice, choose mercy instead. Choose mercy instead. Choose to demonstrate mercy. I know that it's difficult because all we want to do is get even. Remember what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Remember what grace is. Getting what you don't deserve. Friends, let's extend mercy and grace. Let's extend patience and encouragement. Let's extend prayer and empathy to those who wronged us, because this is God's will for our lives. The second lesson we learn from Joseph's life is a lesson in redemptive faith. The unborn plans of God are also protected by faith. That's redeeming faith, redemptive faith. In other words, when we trust God, we arrive at these promises. We see this in Joseph's faith, his willingness to believe God. And that's what we need to do, friends. We need to believe even if things don't make sense. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Sometimes we want long theological discussions, and we want to be philosophical and cute. But you know what it's about, friends? It's about believing God's word. And that's what we need to do. Joseph intended to serve a certificate of divorce to end his engagement to Mary, to handle the matter quietly. He chooses mercy instead. Now the Lord knows that Joseph is ready to let Joseph in on the plan. Now the Lord is ready to call Joseph to faith, to call Joseph to believe. And Joseph's eyes are opened to a glimpse of the divine plan. And let's read about it in the Bible, verse 20 to 23. Matthew 1. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And the angel says, which means God with us. Friends, in Joseph's dream, God gave Joseph a glimpse of the divine plan. Because Joseph was a descendant of David and a righteous man, God gave him the unique job of raising the Messiah. Think about that. God told Joseph that Mary's son will save his people from their sins. In fact, the name Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Yeshua, meaning the Lord is salvation, the Savior. That's what Jesus' name means, friends. From his name, we learn his mission on earth. Jesus was to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to earth to redeem. mankind, to save us from the penalty of our sins. But in order to redeem us, a price had to be paid. And that's why Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Friends, because of Joseph's faith, God reminded Joseph of his God-given identity in a dream. That God's angelic messengers addressed Joseph in a unique title. They say, Joseph, son of David. That suggests that he is of the royal descent of the house of David. It also reminds Joseph that he is a godly man. The only other person in the New Testament, friend, that is called the son of David is Jesus Christ himself. And yet that's how the angel addressed Joseph. Friends, do you realize that in Christ, you have a special identity? You are a daughter of God. You are a son of God. You are a part of the family of God. And God knows you by name. With that recognition, we come into the confidence of his working through our circumstances, working in our lives, friends, to perfect his purpose. The next, because of Joseph's faith, God assured him that he did not need to be afraid. Friend is the enemy. A friend, fear is the enemy of faith. Fear is the enemy of faith. And it steals our hope. On our note, our billboard outside the church, a while ago, there was a saying, fear knocked, faith opened, no one was there. Isn't that lovely? Thirdly, because of Joseph's faith, God gave him direction. He was to take Mary home as his wife and to be the father to the child whom he was to give the name Jesus. Finally, because of Joseph's faith, God assured him of his divine involvement. God said, listen, I'm in it, Joseph. I'm in it, Joseph. With the sentence, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You see that, friends? You saw that in that passage there? Yeah. Praise the Lord. God's message to Joseph was a confirmation that this was God's doing. Joseph now had a different perspective, friends. Faith is believing according to the promise of God's word. As he informs our faith, our hope is strengthened to trust him in our circumstances. Let me say that again, friends. As God informs our faith through his word, our hope is strengthened, and we can trust him in all our circumstances. The third and final lesson we learn from Joseph's life is a lesson of ready obedience. So we had, the first lesson was righteous mercy. The second lesson was redemptive faith. And the third lesson is ready obedience. In verse 24 and 25, when Joseph woke up, he thought about it for a long time. He went for a walk. He went to the beach. He laid in the sand there. He thought about, no, that's not what the word says. When Joseph woke up, he did. Did you see that? He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Isn't that something? But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Obedience followed Joseph's faith. He did what he was commanded. The Bible always defines faith with obedience and obedience with faith. You see that, friends? They are literally two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. For many people, they believe. You meet anybody and you ask them, yeah, I believe. But there's no obedience to follow. Friends, with faith to trust God, Joseph obeys. He takes Mary to be his wife, even if it meant that he would suffer the sarcastic remarks of a child conceived prior to the wedding. He would obey in spite of the fact that this child of divine promise would be born under a cloud of adultery. He would also obey by giving the name of this to this child, the name Jesus, a name declaring that God saves. Yahweh is salvation. This name dispelled any hesitation and fear that may have been resident in Joseph's heart. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. Truly, no name can banish fear like the name of Jesus. It is the beginning of hope and the end of despair. Joseph hears and obeys. He is a ready obedience. Men of God, obey. God settled it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I want to conclude now, friends, by saying that Joseph's role in the birth of Jesus is so important. What he did in that situation reminds me so much of what Jesus did for us. Jesus, in obedience to God, stepped out and he came and protected us from Satan, who sought to kill and destroy us. Jesus was merciful to us when we were accused by Satan. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame of dying for us sinners. And look what Hebrews 12, verse 2 says. Our last verse, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, when our lives take a nasty turn, am I muted now? When our lives take a nasty turn, we cry out like Joseph must have cried out, God, how can this be? You've heard yourself saying that several times. But like Joseph, we hear the still small voice of God saying, trust me, trust me. God's ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we may never understand everything that God is doing this side of heaven. But God says to you and I this morning, trust me and all things work together for good. As I said, We don't know much about Joseph. We don't know where he was born. We don't know when he was born, how he spent his days. We don't know what he said. We don't know when and how he died. But we know that he did what he's supposed to do, friends. And scriptures tell us only who he was. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. Verse 18. Michael Card is a songwriter, a musician, and a college professor. He wrote a song titled Joseph's Song. And to end the sermon, I'm going to read a few lines from the song. Listen closely, friends, from what you know about Joseph. See if these words could have come from Joseph's heart. Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father of the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? As Michael Card wrote this song, I'm sure those were the sentiments of Joseph 2,000 years ago. Friends, Joseph may have thought that being righteous involved doing the proper thing, but he found out that doing the proper thing is also about being the right person. This is what God desires for you, friends, and for me. That we be the people known for showing mercy, faith, and obedience. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. We confess, Lord, that we don't give Joseph two thoughts. The whole year, we don't even mention his name. But you chose him to raise the Messiah. He wasn't some big shot fellow, Lord. He was a humble carpenter. And yet you chose him. You have chosen us too, Lord. You have given us the power to be your sons and daughters. Because of what Jesus has done, Lord, help us to be people who show mercy. Help our faith to grow, Lord, so that you can reveal more and more of your divine plan for our lives, your purpose for our lives. And Lord, may we live in obedience to what you say. That's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, friends. Thank you.